Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm here with Jenny, the founder of Mother's Meeting. And Jenny is launching the first in the series of podcasts that's going to go out across the world. And Jenny, can you tell us a little bit about Mother's Meeting and why you started?
So I started Mother's Meeting 5 years ago, and now we're a network of over 50,000 women subscribers. We're all about inspiring, motivating and supporting women through laughter, tears, and generally being there to big each other up when we're having really awful days and motherhood isn't going the way we want it to. Or expect it to.
Whoop, whoop. And also for the days when it is going great, to celebrate our achievements and to high-five each other.
Yeah, we're there to give each other little tasks, say, you know, you've got that idea, come on, girl, you can make this happen, and you are amazing, even when you are feeling awful. And so, yeah, we're there to give each other a massive high-five and a massive hug when we need it most. Today is our very, very first podcast because, you know, we're in London and we want to be able to reach out to all you mums around the UK, around the world, and share all our knowledge and not quite sure you'd call it knowledge, but all our mothering insights that go on in Mother's Meetings. And I'm Jenny, founder of Mother's Meeting, and today we are here with two beautiful actresses who've got perfect faces for radio. Coralie Rose and Michelle
Doherty. You can say Doherty, yeah, that's the English way of saying it.
Okay, Doherty, Doherty.
Doherty, yeah.
Doherty, right. Yeah. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the one big taboo that all us mums seem to be extremely interested in is, and I even hate saying the word, depression.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like such a bad thing. It sounds like a bit of a disability, doesn't it?
It's got a real stigma attached to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so I've got two children, one that's 5 and one that's going to be 1 next week. And I had, well, I'm not even sure. I don't even still like to call what I had depression.
Yeah.
But when I had my son 5 years ago, I used to wake up every morning and feel so, so sad. Mm. And I used to cry, and people used to go through the whole tick list. Oh, you've got a nice ass. You've got a nice boyfriend. You've got a car. No, I couldn't drive then, actually, so I didn't have a car. But you've got all these amazing things. And I'd say, yeah, I know, but I still feel really sad. What's wrong with me? It's not normal to wake up and want to cry constantly. And so one day I was in the car and I just thought to myself, do you know what? I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy. And you know what? As soon as I realised that I wasn't happy, I knew that I had something that was broken that needed fixing. Mm. And so I was like, right, I need to get this fixed, you know? I can't be sad every day. I can't do that because I'm a mum now and I need to be strong for my baby. And so it was in October and it was really cold and I went to the doctors and I thought I felt so humiliated and such a failure for admitting that I was going to say I felt depressed. Mm. So I thought, right, I'm going to keep my head up. I wore fur coat because it was really cold. I'd been crying that morning, so I put loads of red lipstick on. But rather than looking, you know, glamorous, yeah, as I intended, I literally looked like I'd been sleeping in a doorway for about a month. And so I went to the doctors and I thought, I'm going to hold it together. Sat there and I just burst into tears and was like, I think I'm depressed. And the doctor just didn't even look at me. She looked at her computer and started typing and was like, carry on, tell me how you're feeling, how long have you felt like this for, would you like medication? I was like, yes please. Would you like counselling? Yes please. Yeah. I was up for anything. I had no qualms of taking medication. I just knew that I wanted to make myself feel better as soon as possible. So anyway, I started to take the tablets, and literally I didn't realise at the time, but I did have anxiety because I didn't even know what anxiety was. And the best way to describe it was like turning a cutlery drawer upside down, and there were so many knives and forks and spoons that somebody would say to me, can you get a spoon? And I wouldn't even be able to pick one up because it felt like such a massive task.
Mm.
And I felt so overwhelmed with like the smallest things.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I started taking the tablets and it made me feel so much better, like 100 times, 100% better. And obviously there's a lot of things in the media about taking antidepressants, and you know, we're not going to go into that side of things because obviously that's a massive debate, and we're here to talk about our personal stories. And that's kind of my personal story of how I started and when I admitted that I was depressed. And then that brings me on to meeting the fabulous Coralie. And me and Coralie met about 4 or 5 years ago at one of the first mother's meetings. Coralie's got a son the same age as my little boy, Sunny. Yeah. And I remember Coralie telling me for the first time that she was taking antidepressants. And I was like, this was before I started taking them. And I was like, wow, oh my God. Like, I've never heard anyone be so open about it. And it was Coralie that gave me the confidence, I guess, to go to the doctors. Mm. And so anyway, I'll let Coralie tell you guys her story.
Gosh, I don't know what to say, really.
Firstly, tell everyone a bit about yourself, because you're not just, you know, any old Coralie Rose. You're a casting director, you're a mama of a five-year-old, and you've just had a premiere.
Yeah, I used to be an actress, and I'm a casting director now, but I am a mother, first and foremost. I'm a single mother, which has brought up a whole heap of its own challenges. And I know I was very open with you, Jenny, like when I first met you, because you made me feel very safe and empowered. And I really needed a community at the time, a group of mates. And you really offered that, and still now you do. And that's incredibly valuable. And that's one of the things that I'd say to anybody who's feeling isolated or depressed or anxious, you know, is that try and find some real friends, some real people out there. And I think that in its own is really hard, especially when you become a mother, or when you live in a big city, or when you do a job like ours where we're freelancing and not really part of a big office or something like that.
It is hard
to find other women or just other people that you can be really honest with that aren't necessarily judging you. And I feel that in this kind of age where everybody being busy and trying to compete with, oh no, I'm busier than you, and
their lives looking awesome,
and I'm more stressed than you, and everybody misusing and overusing the word depressed, you know. And I'm like, you're not bloody depressed, you're having a bad day, you're stressed, you're in a bad mood. That's not depression, it's a very different thing. But we all overuse the term, and in fact there's a massive stigma attached to mental health, you know. And maybe we can say depression now, but to admit that you have a mental illness or some kind of mental condition is, I think, still incredibly frightening and can be held against you at loads of opportunities, you know, work related, and your friends sometimes even do hold it against you, that think that you're not stable, or you can't handle it, or you can't cope.
And I think people think that when you take antidepressants you are on Prozac and you're completely off your head. Yeah. And I remember when you first told me that you was taking antidepressants, and I was kind of like, so which one is Coralie? Is this Coralie, or is she the one when she's not on the tablets? And I think people are so misinformed.
Mm. I was, when I didn't know that I was pregnant. And so for the first couple of weeks, I thought I was going mad. I really did. And I'd suffered from depression in my 20s. And I thought, oh God, this feels strange. What's happening? And, you know, is my depression coming back? And I went to the doctors and and I said, oh, I'm feeling a bit this and that. And I kind of described how I was feeling, completely hormonal and all over the place. But I left there with a bag, you know, of antidepressants and diazepam, which I took for 2 weeks. And then I thought, well, my period's a bit late. And I said to my boyfriend, you know, I think I'm ill. And we'd been in Kenya. I think maybe I've got malaria, you know. And he's like, oh, you're probably pregnant. Stop being stupid. And I said, you don't understand. You know, men are such dicks. Like, it's not fair. And then a couple of days later, I thought, oh God, he could be right. And I did a pregnancy test. And of course I was pregnant. Oh. And so then after taking these antidepressants and diazepam for 2 weeks, I had to completely cut everything off in one day, and everything else that I'd been doing, you know, drinking and eating cheese and sushi and all sorts of things, you know. And I, you know, and it's just such a funny thing, because it can be misdiagnosed, and And I'm not saying that the pills are for everybody. You know, I don't take antidepressants anymore, and I really feel that with a combination of good diet and good friends and exercise and fresh air and more holistic care, that's what I need as maintenance. But I said to Jenny then, and I say it to a lot of people now, that it's a chemical imbalance. And if you were diabetic, I would tell you to go and take your insulin. Yeah. You know, if you were epileptic, I'd tell you to get on the pills, you know. And I think that with depression, it's the same thing. And if that can help you for a little while, why would you not? Why suffer in silence? Why try and sort it out?
Or why take like 3 years on...
Yeah.
Sort of natural, do meditation to get better. Where I think when I started to take the tablets, it cleared my head so that I could go for a run.
Absolutely.
Whereas before taking the tablets, I could never have even...
Got out of bed.
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't choose what leggings to put on.
Exactly. So taking the tablets cleared my head to do things unrelated to the medication, which made me feel, contributed to feeling better. So then I could gradually come off the tablets.
Yeah, definitely.
Coralie, at what point after having Laser, your son, did you think, right, this isn't right, I feel really awful, I need to sort my stuff out, head out?
I was, you had double-edged sword that when I was pregnant, I was very open with my midwives and, you know, when you see people at hospital about the fact that I'd had depression, I was worried about suffering from postnatal depression. And in fact, I think a little known fact is that prenatal depression is just as common. And I suffered from that. And so I was caseloaded a midwife. And I had the same midwife for most of my pregnancy. And then on my due date, she says to me, oh, and I'm going away for a week. And I thought, I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. Like the one stable person that I've had, apart from my partner, of course, you know.
Yeah.
Is effing off. And I couldn't believe it. I was so... And from that moment on, that's when I spiraled downwards, because I then suddenly felt very, very alone again. And I felt very let down by the system. And I felt that you can't rely on anybody, really. You know, it is just you. And I think that when I then had the baby and everybody said, oh, you get baby blues and this is normal and this is normal. And I didn't want to admit, really, that maybe I was feeling a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I broke up with my partner in the next couple of months after having my baby. And I, you know, I do wonder, was it the chicken or the egg? Was it the breakup that accelerated my depression, or was it my depression
that caused the breakup?
Yeah. You know, and it's really hard to tell. And it's maybe a little bit of both. And to be honest, my son wasn't very well and, you know, spent a lot of time in and out of hospital when he was young. So there were lots of external factors. But I knew when, you know, through the breakup and that I needed some extra help. And I was lucky enough to recognise that I needed help, recognise that I wasn't strong enough to do it on my own and seek help. And I found a fantastic psychotherapist. I really recommend talking therapies. I really recommend counselling, with or without drugs, with or without medicine, with or without other
things.
Yeah, with or without depression.
Someone to speak to that isn't going to judge you.
I think it's really important. You know, we go to the gym for our bodies and we always want to look good on the outside, whiten our teeth, you know, do all these things. And we forget that we've got all these things inside and that actually our friends, they're great, but they're busy and they've got their own shit and they're not trained professionals. And that's my investment in myself, you know, that I pay money to someone every week and I've got that relationship.
And we've just got little Maxie having a little poo. We are mums, like, and we have got babies,
we love about babies
in the room.
There's no way.
Squeeze it out, Max.
That
will all be
okay. And that's so, good. I'll have my tea.
Michelle,
yes.
Over to you. So I was speaking to you about 2 months ago.
Yes.
And you were nearly biting my arm off because you were saying that you'd gone completely cold turkey and started stopped taking the medication.
Yes, I know, it was the worst thing I could have possibly done.
So how long ago did you start taking the medication and why?
Okay, well, first of all, my little man is 16 months old now. So I think for the first 6 months, a first-time mother, you don't know what's going on anyway. So you're sort of making excuses for why you're feeling blue and upset. And like, I actually cried as much as Max did when I had him first. And I thought, this can't be right.
Especially when you've got so many people saying, oh, amazing, you've got a baby.
Perfect.
And then you beat yourself up.
Yeah. I also had no support network over here. So that was really tough on me. I had nobody to rely on, just even take him for half an hour so I could get a shower on my own. It was just me and him 24/7. I also had this amazing career beforehand, and all of a sudden this is my priority. Obviously I wouldn't change it for the world, but it's a huge adjustment. So anyway, I was just trying to get my head around all of that first and thinking that's all it is. But when it got to the point, and I was also fighting a lot with my partner, if he looked sideways at me, I would nearly have taken his head off, which wasn't fair in him, but you just couldn't help it. And I was so agitated and angry and upset, so all of these things just came to a head then, and I thought, right, I'm going to go and speak to the doctor about it. And the one thing I will say is, don't suffer on your own, and don't feel like there's anything wrong with you. It's okay to not be happy 100% after you have a baby. I know that you feel that there's something wrong, but it's okay to not. So off I went to the doctor. She gave me this form to fill out, because I was really fighting the depression thing. I was like, it's not that, I can't be that. And yeah, it turned out it was depression, and she recommended antidepressants. But I had a very bad experience, like you were saying, Jenny, like when you think of depressants, you think of Prozac, like the really hardcore ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't be on these things. Like, I know somebody really close to me who was on them, and she was up and down, like really had these massive highs and these really bad lows, and I just couldn't cope with the thoughts of me being like that. So I went to get help with a counsellor first for 10 weeks, and 10 weeks later I was still crying as much as I was, and she highly recommended that I try these antidepressants. So I also rang around then to loads of friends, you know, and it's not until you actually start speaking about it that people are honest with you and tell you, because nobody tells you about it because of this.
Because there's such a massive stigma, isn't it? Even now, and when I, you know, that's why I think it was such a massive relief when Coralie told me. I remember we was at the V&A Museum, and Coralie said that she was on these antidepressants, and I was like gobsmacked, because no one had ever spoken so honestly about
taking
medication or actually going, do you know what, I'm depressed.
Yeah. And so I went on them, and I suppose you don't really feel anything for about 3 weeks, and then it just takes the edge off. And as my counsellor explained to me, she said, it's a chemical imbalance. Mm. Like, childbirth can do that to you. And, you know, as you said, if you've got something else wrong, you take the medication to help with that. It's okay, don't feel bad about it. But I think I had this fear of being addicted to them as well, that I would be on them for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went on them, and yes, I have to say, it completely leveled me off. Like, I was on the floor, and it just brought me back up to who I was. The only thing about them was I felt that it numbed me a lot, that I nearly didn't feel anything anymore then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't really feel like
that. No, I didn't. So that sort of scared me a little bit, that like nothing bothered me anymore.
But that's quite a nice feeling.
No, it was a nice feeling, but it's a bit scary as well. You're like, what am I actually this easy going now? What's wrong? But unfortunately, I then came off them cold turkey, and because me and my partner were thinking about trying for another baby, so... And it probably was the worst thing I could have done. You're supposed to wean yourself off them. And
since, obviously, I had my daughter 12 months ago, and I think I was really, when I was pregnant, I was really nervous that the whole depression was going to kick in again.
Yeah.
And I had her, and obviously, I've written a book about motherhood. I was like, I'm not getting depressed. I'm not even going to start feeling slightly blue. But I think, once you have a baby, that whole confidence, isolation, lack of confidence, by the way, and the isolation, everything all comes flooding back.
Yeah.
And I could see the black hole, and I was determined not to go down that path again.
Mm.
And literally, I think I felt sad. And I think the big difference between feeling sad and feeling depressed is sadness you can have a bit of control over, and you can sort of fight your way through it a little bit, even though it's really hard. But then when you've got depression, there is nothing that can cure like those tears.
Yeah.
And so when I had my daughter, I felt sad, and I think I had the baby blues, but it is such a big difference to feeling depressed.
Right.
And I think once you wake up every morning and you just feel so sad and there's nothing you can do, even listening to Beyonce, having a really strong coffee, if that doesn't fix it, I would definitely suggest that going to the doctors.
Yeah, when it's an everyday thing, exactly. It's not in your imagination then. You have to do something about it. But don't suffer on your own, because unfortunately there's lots of mums who just suffer on their own, and they think, is it just me? What's wrong with me? Whereas I think the more people talk about it, the more people absolutely will be, they'll feel, oh, it's okay for me to talk about this. Because unfortunately, as you said, people still look at depression as, oh my God, let's not talk about that. You know, it's the unknown, you know, you don't know how to deal with it. Whereas the more
it's
people
like a massive
talk about
failure,
it,
isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think that's why this is so important. I think one of the reasons that I was able to open up to you was that even the little I knew about you through your Instagram, you know, you were very candidly honest about things. You know, you put pseudo cream on your zits and you say, like, this is how it is. And I think that's the important bit, is that you enabled me to be honest about it. And it, like I said, it was a safe environment to be able to open up. And I think more people are experiencing it than we know. And we feel that we have to put on a front.
Yeah.
And actually the important step is this conversation. It is opening it up for all of us. Not that I want to sit here and wallow and say, oh, woe me, it's so shit the whole time. That isn't the point. You know, the point is when you can genuinely reach out to someone and say, this is going on for me. Like, what did you do? Or what would you advise? And building on that is really helpful.
And that it's okay to not, you
be
know,
amazing and happy.
Not be amazing. Because that's my problem was, anybody I knew that had children never spoke about any of these things. It was always, oh, I'm so lucky and I'm so...
Yeah.
And then when this was happening to me, I'm like, I'm the worst person in the world. Like,
I was like, where's my receipt? I'm taking this baby back.
Where's the manual?
But I wanted a baby for so long, and then I felt like so ungrateful going, you wanted everything about this, you wanted, and now all you do is moan about it. But it's not that. It's just you cannot help when that feeling happens, and just go get help and go, you know, do something about it and it will be fine. But trying to bottle it up and pretend it's not is the worst thing you can do, because that's when, you know, like, an unhappy mummy is an unhappy baby, or
absolutely,
whatever the saying goes, you know. So you have to look after yourself first to be able to take care of your babies, I think.
And I think you made a very interesting point about if you decide to take antidepressants, they do take a while to kick in. And, and in that interim, it's quite difficult because you really want something to work. You know, by then you've decided that you want a solution or you want some help. And you've got those three. I mean, you were lucky it was three. For me, I think it was six or eight weeks.
Okay. Oh.
But I remember my mother, when I was a teenager in my early 20s, who'd been on antidepressants, and I'd kind of forgotten about it. But then I remember her saying that she had taken antidepressants and that one day she was walking down the street and she felt that everybody was smiling at her. And she realised it's because she was smiling at them.
Oh, that is beautiful.
You know, and the change is very subtle, but it does happen. You stop, you know, like you said.
That's giving me goosebumps.
And you said about your partner, you know, you feel that every look they give you, you're so paranoid and sensitive to it.
Yes,
you know, you're scowling at everybody. You know, I walked in today and I was like, don't look at me, don't talk to me, I'm so full of self-loathing. And you're just spitting arrows at everybody.
And
you know,
feel better now for talking?
I feel better now. I've had a cup of tea, I've had a chat, you know, I've woken up a bit. But that's part of it as well, as recognising yourself and your own boundaries and what you're comfortable with, you know. But it does take a while, and I think you don't realise, you know, the darkness that surrounds you. I always felt like I was just so negative. I was like, well, why would anybody love me? I'm so horrible. Yeah. I'm so bitter.
And it just seems to get worse then, doesn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I started reading a book as well, because I haven't done CBT. I'm trying to... I think I really need to do CBT, to be honest with you.
Well, let us know how it goes.
But it's trying to find the right person is really important as well, because you can go to someone that it's not even worth talking to. So I want to find the right one. But I'm reading this book. It's Louise Hay. It's sort of about positive thinking. And I think it's called How to Heal My Life or something like that.
She's the best.
And it's brilliant. Like, it really does work. But unfortunately, I don't do it enough. So I kind of find myself relapsing then and being like, I'm so angry today. And then I have to talk myself down and go, calm down.
I went to
go
see,
and read your little book.
Yeah, I went to see a counsellor. It wasn't CBT. And I wasn't sure what to expect.
Yeah.
And she literally would just ask me questions. We'd be in the room, like on the TV, and she'd be like, with the box of tissues, a really sterile room.
Yeah.
It was on the NHS. And she just used to ask me questions. And I'd go into that room and I'd feel so, like, you know, try and be really strong. And I'd go in there, she'd ask me one question, and I would just be bawling with tears.
I know, me too.
And every time I went, I would come out, I'd have to put my sunglasses on, and I'd just cry for about an hour just talking.
I think we you know, we have to tell people it does get worse before it gets better. Definitely. Often the counselling it's opening a Pandora's box. You know, you put a lid on these things for such a long time, and then suddenly someone asks you how you feel, and you're like, and it's really hard to put that lid back on and put your sunglasses on and get into the street and then go home and cook dinner or change nappies or make the bed. You know, but actually you have to go through it. It's a process, and you have to trust that there is another side and that you're going in the right direction.
Yeah, but don't give up as well, because that can be the easy way, just to go, this is not working for me, so I'm just going to leave it. But also,
but you're right that not everybody's right. That you know, the matches. Right, it might not be the right style of counselling. It might not be the right style of therapy. It might not even be the right person. You might need a woman or a man. You know, someone older or younger. And I think those matches can take time as well. You know, it's not just an immediate thing.
And I don't know about you, Jenny, but do you kind of? I kind of look to them for answers to tell me, why do I do this though? But why am I feeling like this?
Yeah.
Where she was questioning me, and I'm like, but I'm not the counselor. Yes. I don't know. That's why I'm here.
And then the last time I went, I remember I didn't cry, and I walked out, and I had a little bit of a skip in my step, and I was like, I didn't cry that time, and I felt so good. And I think, you know, as mums, and you know, the whole ethos of Mothers Meeting is about sticking together and supporting one another. I think when you meet another mum and you say, how are you feeling? And you go, yeah, I'm fine. When actually, do you know what? You feel utter shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just making that, you're not making that mum feel better. You're putting a guard up, and you're raising the bar for that other mum to feel really good.
Yeah.
So that's why it's really important. So if you're feeling really crap, obviously not to be a real downer and make everyone feel depressed. But just, it's about being honest with one another and going, do you know what? I had a really bad night last night. How was yours?
Yeah.
And then I think whoever you're speaking to will feel, you know, that they can be honest with you. And so it's kind of, like you said, the chicken and the egg. Everybody needs to be honest with one another, and I think the whole stigma of antidepressants and all of us being psycho,
lunatic
psycho mums. I was going to swear then. Wouldn't exist.
I've been swearing all along.
It's fine. I was going to say psycho bitches,
and
but
I think surrounding yourself with positive people. I mean, I don't know about. Well, I'm sure you hear it all the time, but what you've done for lots of mums is incredible. But make sure that you find the right group. I mean, you can plod along to all these different groups going, I'm just going to a mommy's club today. But you could be with the wrong people, because they're all, oh, my son is brilliant, or my daughter's this. Whereas your Mother's Meetings is an amazing group that share loads of stuff. And that's what I found from the get-go, is it's okay to not feel normal, and it's okay to feel bad today, and it's okay to share it. You don't have to put on this front.
Yeah,
you
exactly. Know, and I think everybody feels that they can feel like that, because I'm you're honest very about much it. Like that, so if you mums are out there and you're in Manchester, Derby, Scotland, whatever, just remember, as long as you start being honest with the mums around you, they'll start being honest with you.
But you also celebrate. You feel better,
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, because I don't want this to come across as if we're sitting here going, poor me, and this is awful. It's not, and it's only, you know, it does get better, but it's just good to talk about it, because the more you bottle it up, it's not going to go away. That's not going to go away, and you're going to get very sick. So make sure that you find people that you can talk to about it, and
But the wonderful thing I think about Jenny particularly and Mother's Meeting is that you also celebrate people's successes. You're not just saying, oh, poor me. You also say, oh, look, I made this book, and I've done this, and I've created these two amazing kids, and you celebrate my successes. You blow my trumpet, and I'm sure you do to a lot of your friends and a lot of the women that are around you. And that's equally as important. It's not just about talking about how shit we feel occasionally. But it's also about celebrating each other's successes and marking the achievements and saying, well, I feel better than I did last week, or, you know, last night was a better night than the one before. And I aim to do these things, and I do it with a positive mental attitude, and then giving each other a high five or a pat on the back when we do get to those places that we want to go to. I think that's equally as important.
I think it's a really... Do you know what? I think that it is actually so beautiful when women come together and they do support one another. And I know there's so many things out there, but all these women coming together, and it's like, you know, there's loads of it on Instagram, you know, all the quotes and about women supporting one another. But there is nothing that makes me feel more happy. Like last week, I'd been in the office because we're planning all the events for 2016.
And I was like, oh my God, I feel a bit sad. I don't know what's wrong with me this week. Like, I feel a bit flat and a bit uninspired. Yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, do you know what it is? I haven't actually had a mother's meeting for like 2 weeks and I haven't seen the mums.
And got the energy and the vibe. Yeah.
And then we had our Christmas party last week, and I get this massive rush of like being around all these women because everyone else is having this massive rush of, and it is so important to be with one another. Yeah.
And I love you're very good at instilling confidence in people again, because that was the hardest thing for me. I lost all my confidence. You kind of forget who you are, and it's really good being around people like that, because they lift you again and say, no, it's just, you're just going to go through this for a short time and you're going to be fine again. Because that's really hard. That was really hard.
It's really hard. And mother's meeting is not a mother's meeting. Whether it's a podcast, a meeting, anything, without tears. And I've stood up in front of 150 women and literally put my heart on my sleeve and said that, you know, I've had to take clothes back to the shop because I haven't been able to afford them. And, you know, I've spoke from my heart so passionately. And I've, you know, been in tears in front of everyone. And to be able to do that in front of a massive group of women. And I want everybody to have access to be able to do that. So this is why we're launching this podcast. And it's the start of, you know, reaching out to you mums everywhere. And hopefully it'll become a global success and we'll all be there to be honest with one another and spread the honest word.
Look after each other, yeah.
And to all the people out there, you know, Jenny started this, I think, because she felt that she didn't have any mates that you could have tea and coffee and talk about stuff with. And I think you encourage other people to, across the country and across the world, if you're feeling a bit isolated, talk to that mum that you see in the street, and you know you think they're all cool and sorted, but they're probably not, and they're probably dying to go for a cup of tea and a chat with you. You know,
I used to just go up to people and be like an absolute maniac.
You stalk a friend. Oh, I always used to say to Jenny, "Have you got any friends in West London? Because I'm all on my own out here." You know,
and I say to the mums all the time, you know, hands up, who's felt lonely since becoming a mum? And I'm like, no one puts their hand up. I'm like, I know, because only losers feel lonely, don't they? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, no, actually, we all feel lonely.
Yeah, you do.
And admitting that you're lonely, admitting you're depressed, fine. Oh my God, what are we like? But we're all exactly the same.
Yeah, it was so funny. I was in Alexander Palace one day with Max, just taking him on the swings, and this gorgeous mum was beside me with her little boy, and we got to talking. And she was the most amazing person. And I actually was like, I'm really sorry. And I never do that. It was like chatting up man. I said, please, can I be your friend? So I ended up, we exchanged numbers and then we met up the following week. But it was like going on a first date. I was like, please let her like me. And she was like, I was saying the same thing to my husband, going, oh, please don't let her not like me. It was just so cute. It's like that. Were we talking about
catastrophe.
What
channel is it on? Channel 4.
Channel 4.
If you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. It is brilliant. So funny and so
it's so
real.
Honest and so real. That's why I said that lady has, Sharon Horgan has to have children, because she knows it so well.
She's brilliant.
She's fantastic. Yeah.
Okay, so ladies, back to depression. If you were to give any mums out there that are feeling a little bit sad or not feeling, you know, feeling the joy of having a new baby like we're all supposed to, what would your number one?
My number one is go get help. Do not suffer on your own. Do not think that there's something wrong with you. It's perfectly normal to not feel, I'm the luckiest person in the world. I really want to meet that mother. I'd love to meet her and shake her hand and go, do you have any idea how lucky you are?
It's okay. And rare.
And rare, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She's more likely to be in the minority. Well, she is in the minority, yeah, of course, more than, you know, we think.
But don't suffer on your own. Go get help and don't feel ashamed or that there's anything wrong with you. It's perfectly normal. It's just, it can be just as simple as a chemical imbalance that's happened after you've had a baby, and you will get through it and it's going to be fine.
Yeah, Coralie?
I'd say if you're not already following Mother's Meeting, definitely follow Mother's Meeting.
I just slipped through 50 quid under the table for that one.
No, it does help. You know, it's great. It connects you to something, and it connects you to other people, and it connects you to yourself, I think, as well.
I think it's really important. And don't compare yourself to anyone else. Don't compare yourself to how you were before you had your child, because you're someone new. And like they say on Instagram, comparison is the thief of joy.
Ooh,
and
it is true.
That's a good one.
And also, I think a massive thing is to remember that, you know, when you become a mum, you can still listen to all that music and still wear those Nikes and still do all those things.
Adidas.
It is not the end of the world. Yeah. It is just the beginning. And you know what? Don't try and keep your foot in the old life, because your right foot's in the new life. And, you know, you can't keep 2 feet in two different lives. Jump into the new life and remember that that is going to be way more better.
Yeah.
Way more better?
Yeah. Way more better.
Way more better. It's going to be way more better.
And prefer it way more.
Don't
better,
set too many expectations of yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Just
try not to feel guilty.
Yes, guilt is a big one, yeah.
Guilt is
and
a
you know,
one.
Can I also talk just talk briefly about the so I decided when I had Max that I was going to be a stay-at-home mum. For a year anyway, and I put my career on hold
as an actress.
That's not for everyone, so don't do that if you feel that that mightn't be the right thing to do, because a lot of my friends have said, no, I needed my work to be able to go back to my work, because it kept me sane. And I think I had this mad idea that I was going to be this perfect mother and I'm going to be at home with my child. And while I love it, there's still a part of me that misses my old life and my job. And I think that can work both ways, that I can maybe be a bit resentful towards him, and I don't want that to happen either. So there's a very fine line. So make sure you think about things carefully. About job and being a mum. It's a very tough juggle.
I don't think there's anything
juggle.
Wrong with wanting your own career and wanting your own...
No, it's not at all. No, not at all.
Life, like we said, happy mum,
happy baby. Mom, happy baby.
I think I would go absolutely insane if I was a full-time mum.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, you are a full-time mum, but a stay-at-home mum, you
mean? A stay-at-home mum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm full-time. You know what I mean? Like, if I had to be at home all the time, and I'd, you know, I've beat myself up so much for not being that person. But at the end of the day, I need to be happy to make my children happy.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's
and you've got a daughter also. You want to show her that it's possible to have a career and to be a good mother.
Yeah. Okay, so any final words, ladies?
That's good.
It. So get down the doctors, girls.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling 100%.
Okay, yeah.
And
don't come off antidepressants cold turkey.
Michelle,
the right way.
What is your social media best way to find you?
I am on Instagram at Doris Road, which is ridiculous, but anyway. I'm also on Twitter at Michelle Doherty without an E in Doherty.
And Coralie?
I am on.
You?
I'm very active on Twitter. I love a tweet. I'm tropical_rose, or I'm roadcasting on Instagram.
That's if you've got any children that are interested in modelling. Coralie is your lady, and obviously don't forget to follow at Mother's Meeting with the S at the end. And I hope you enjoyed that, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Please tune in for the next one soon.
Yeah.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.